and the very serious issue of hate speech. Facebook has done an update where it, you know, talks about the how successful the AI program that it uses to identify and remove posts containing hate speech, how successful that AI program is becoming. Now up to 95% of problematic posts are being identified and removed. But there is a significant increase in the number of those posts which are needing to be removed, nearly threefold increase between the first and second quarters of this year. The latest is a specific identification of racist writings and imagery, prohibiting the depictions of blackface and statements or images suggesting that Jewish people control the world or major institutions. It already has a fairly broad ban on hate speech, but the company also has a detailed list of prohibited language, like comparing a group of people to insects or primates, and protected characteristics like physical appearance to tell users what isn't allowed. We speak now to Ochebria Mpofu Anti, who specializes in all aspects of media and public law and a partner at Mpofu Anti Consulting. A very good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
A welcome development?
Look, I think it's an interesting development, certainly, because it's definitely part of this ongoing debate that's happening across the world, where civil rights groups are trying to get big social media networks like Facebook, also on Instagram, Twitter, and the likes, to get their policies in order in relation to discriminatory speech, harmful speech, hate speech, and the like. So definitely an important and useful development.
Okay. All right. So it is an important and useful development. I mean, there are going to be some, I'm not one of them, that says this is another example of political correctness gone mad, that speech is becoming so restricted that it becomes totally anodyne. One wasn't even allowed to make, all right, a slightly offensive but not particularly hateful joke anymore. You know, what can I say? I might as well just zip my lips shut and not say anything, because everything I say is likely to offend somebody somewhere around the world.
Well, I mean, I definitely hear that argument, and there's space for that argument sometimes. But unfortunately, John, the reality is that most of the people that make that argument are people who are in a position of privilege, and they are not people who are used to being part of a group that is routinely discriminated against and routinely dehumanized, routinely marginalized. So, for example, you would rarely ever hear women, for example, say that the world has gone crazy vis-a-vis sexism and misogyny, and that there's just too much policing of men being sexist towards women these days. Most women would probably say there needs to be more of it, or that not enough has been done. So I generally view with a lot of suspicion, you know, that argument that says this is political correctness gone mad. And if you look specifically at some of the examples that have been introduced into Facebook's new community standards, I honestly, from my personal point of view, don't believe that these are subject to debate. For example, this ongoing pernicious idea that Jewish people run the world by controlling major institutions, and that, you know, Jewish people are behind all sorts of, you know, the Illuminati and goodness knows what else. We know what the end result of that type of thinking and the proliferation of such ideas is, because we've seen it happen in history through World War II and the Holocaust. So these are not harmless ideas. This is not something that should be allowed because it's part of freedom of expression. It's part of the dehumanizing of people and preparing society for an attack against these people, which will then be seen as acceptable because these people are a problem that should be removed from society. And similarly, the fact that Facebook has now identified caricatures of black people in the form of blackface as incredibly harmful. And I don't think we have time to even go into the history of blackface and just how discriminatory the wearing of blackface is in terms of its history. I know that many people today will say, well, they were just doing it as a joke, or they were doing dress up for a party, for example. But the reality is that these things are very difficult to separate from their historical roots. And if you are not a person of color, the chances that you actually understand the harm that these things cause at a personal, visceral level is fairly limited.
Yeah, I mean, somebody just sent me a cartoon, New Liberal Game Show. I'm sorry, Greg, while your answer was correct, Nicole was offended by it, so she gets the point. To which I reply, well, Nicole was probably correctly offended by it, so she gets double points and you get kicked off the show. But, you know, yeah. I mean, there's a certain class of person that's probably, I mean, and I'm sure that I sometimes say things which are offensive to other people. I don't realize that they're offensive. It's been part of my kind of discourse as a white male from a particular generation in this country. And I would like to think that if I'm told that what I've said is offensive, my first response would be, I'm sorry. Could you please explain to me why you found it offensive? Because I'd like to understand if I don't understand immediately. And, you know, so I mean,
absolutely. Yeah. And I think, John, it's important to point out that when it comes to freedom of expression, the law around freedom of expression pretty much across different international jurisdictions, and certainly has been reaffirmed here in South Africa, is that freedom of expression doesn't only protect ideas that other people like. Freedom of expression isn't only allowed if people are happy about what you say and not offended by what you say. So definitely the scope for offense has to be there in any society that respects freedom of expression. But I think what people often don't understand and properly engage with is that when we talk about discriminatory speech, and particularly the type of speech that is labeled as hate speech, it's not just about being offended. So, for example, it's not just about saying, oh, I don't like the color of your shoes, or I think people that wear sneakers are all airheads, for example. That's not the kind of offense that one is trying to address when we're talking about discriminatory speech or hate speech. We're talking about speech that has deep historical roots, that is aimed at attacking the inherent characteristics of a person. I mean, if I say, I don't like you because you are white, what can you do about that? How could you possibly redress that? It is an inherent characteristic. And our constitution tells us that our society, certainly here in South Africa, was divided and broken along those very lines. And our commitment to equality means that we are trying to create a society where there is no space for people to be discriminated against, for people to be diminished, for people to be targeted, whether people think it's joking or otherwise, based on certain immutable characteristics. So it's not about offense. And I think people need to think very carefully about categorizing discriminatory speech, racist speech, sexist speech, homophobic speech, as I have a right to my personal views.
That's a very useful distinction. Ochibaria Ampofo-Anti, thanks very much for talking to us this afternoon. Somebody who specializes in all aspects of media and public law and a partner at Ampofo-Anti Consulting.